Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15. Thank you, Miss Linda, as usual. Very good. Luke chapter 15. I do want to say, praise the Lord, finally found a house. Going to be moving tomorrow if you're not working. I'm buying lunch. Amen. Everybody just found things on their schedule. Oh, man, hello, Tom. This is Tom. Everybody seen the Subway commercial? Nobody's seen the Subway commercial. Anyway, that was funny if you've ever seen the Subway commercial, but if you've never seen the Subway commercial, then that wasn't funny. Amen. But if you're available, you want to help, want to be a blessing, God will bless you. It's prosperity preaching tonight. God will bless you in some shape or form. Many hands make light work. Amen. And so if you're available, want to help, let me know tonight. I sure would appreciate it. We're living in a one-bedroom apartment, five of us. It's been so good to get out of it. Amen. I do appreciate the Crawfords letting us stay there. But a month is hallelujah. You know, so we thank the Lord for that. Luke chapter 15, let's read quite a bit of this story. This is not a new story. This is an old story that we've heard many times. But I just want to kind of give you maybe a different thought about it tonight. But we find that the prodigal son, it went away. And we're going to see what happened while he went away. But, you know, the good part of this story is that he came back. You know, by the way, just let me say this. It's bad if you go away, but it's worse if you stay away. It's good if you come back to the Lord and always be reminded that He's always waiting for you to come back. Let's read this story together. Luke chapter 15, verse 11, the Bible says, "And he said, and had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father." Now notice what he said. "Father, here it is. Give me." Amen. Well, you're going to see a correlation. I'll just go ahead and give it to you. In verse 19, he said, "Make me." I want you to notice the difference in the tone of his voice. In verse 12, he said, "Lord, Father, give me everything." And then in verse 19, he said, "Make me a servant." It's amazing how going away and spending a night in the hog pen of life changed your attitude towards what you really got in this life. I remember one time as a young boy, and I'll get back to this in a minute. I was living with my grandmother at the time. My parents had separated, so I was living with my grandmother. My grandmother is a preacher's wife. My grandfather was a Baptist preacher. And she was pretty mean at times, but she was the sweetest lady you'd ever meet other times. But she did make me mad one day, and she told me not to do something I wanted to do. And got on to me, and I said, "You know what? I'll just pack my bags and leave." Well, she helped me pack my bags, and I left. I went to the wooded area behind the house and said, "I'm just going to spend the night out here," until it got dark. I was probably 12, 13, and it got dark. And I don't know about y'all, but in Florida, when it gets dark. Because you got all them tall trees out there, and it shades you from everything. And I remember thinking, "I'm going home." Amen. And one little half a quarter of a night settled that for me. And you know what? I went home and I said, "Nanny, I'm sorry. I'm back home. I don't want to go back there." And you know what? I believe that's what the prodigal said. Notice what else happened here. He says in verse, notice what happened in the rest of this. He says, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Matter of fact, anywhere away from God is a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, if you read the other accounts of this story, it tells you what he spent it on. And it talks about the harlots and the wasted money that he had. Now, notice in verse 14, it says, "When he had spent all," which don't take long when you're living the good life. Amen. So people think. But notice what happened. There arose a mighty famine in that land. I wonder who had the hand in that. And he began to be in want. And when he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine. You know, Jews don't like pigs. Amen? This was kind of a cut down to him. But notice what happened. It said, "And when he would fain," that simply means pleased, "have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Now, have you ever dealt with hogs? We have hogs in Florida. Y'all have them out here too a lot. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to eat nothing they eat. I remember my grandfather used to have hogs, and I remember they got whatever was left over, and we all mixed it together. I remember the soured milk. We take the soured milk, and we take all the scraps that were left over. We pour that soured milk and ice cream, everything that was rotten in there. And guess what? They'd eat it up. That's where this child had went. That's where this son had went. He had went so far in his life from being in the care of his father and being in the safety of his home to saying, you know what, I want to go out there and I want to go to greener pastures and I want to go to bigger cities and I want to see greater lights. But he wasted everything he had. Notice what happened. He joined himself. He started eating with the pigs. And verse 17 says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Boy starts thinking about home. Train up a child the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. You know why that is? Because they think they got it so hard when they're living underneath the house that has rules. I was there. That's one reason I'm preaching this. I thought, man, I don't like rules. And you know what? You go away and you go to a place that don't have rules, it ain't very long. You're thinking, I would to God that I could go back and live underneath that accountability of my parents. And underneath that rule of my parents. Now notice what else he says. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned. Notice what he said. Two things here. I've sinned against heaven and before thee. When you sin against your father as a child, you not only sin against him earthly, but you sin against your heavenly father. And I wish there was youth here tonight so we could preach this to them. They think, boy, I'll buck against mom and daddy, but you're not. You're kicking also against God. Now notice what else happens here. He said in verse 19, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Now notice what he says. He said, make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he had yet a great way off, I love this. You know, I just can't help but to think that father walked out to that last fence post on the property every day, looking down that long road saying, oh, I want my son to come home. And that one day he walked out there to that end of that fence post, and I'm just drawing a picture in my mind. He walks all the way to the end of his property, to that last fence post down there, and he looks down the road and he sees his son. He knew how he walked. You know what? That's always amazing. Mamas and daddies know what their kids look like without seeing them. Isn't that amazing? I mean, a mama can see somebody, that's my baby. You ever been in the stadium with mama and daddy watching their child play football and you don't know who's who? I've been there. And you know, they don't put their names on their back unless they're in college. And I remember sitting there thinking, who's who? Well, he's that one right there. I'm telling you, by the way he's walking. Can't you just see that daddy saying, oh, there he comes. And notice what happened. And when he saw him a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Whoo, glory. What a homecoming. Can't you just think? I mean, we know what the prodigal son was thinking in his mind. He was thinking, I'm going to go home and dad's going to be mad and I just want to be a servant. I'm just going to go home and I'm going to ask him if I can just stay out in the slave shack, if I can just go out there and just serve as a servant. And he's trying to come in humbly. He figured he would just be just as one of the hired help. And yet he sees his father. Boy, dad's running. Notice what it said. It said he ran. I don't think he was like some sissy. One of them joggers that waste time all morning. Amen. This is a sprinter. I always said, you know why God made us to run? Only if something's chasing us. Amen. That's why I am the size I am. But I could just see the father. I bet he didn't go. I bet he sprinted. And he ran. And he ran. And he ran because he longed to see his son. Now notice what happens in verse 21. It says, and the son said unto the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. You know what? I think the prodigal was starting a confession here. And I want you to notice what the father does. He cuts him off. He says, son, that's all I need to hear. I know you're sorry. By the way, sometimes we want to go through a big spill with God and say, God, I've sinned. And you start, you know what? I think God just says, you know what? I'm so glad you came back because he saw your heart before you even got there. Now notice what happened, but the Father, I like that word but in the Bible, that word but is it interjects what's happening there. He said, but the Father, notice this, it says, but the Father said to His servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on Him and put a ring on His hand and shoes on His feet. You know what that tells me? He was probably naked coming home with no shoes and no clothes to wear. By the fact, God said He'd always supply your needs. You know what? That's what this father did. He supplied his son's needs. Now notice this. It says, and bring here the fatted calf. Hallelujah, steaks tonight. And killed it and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Well, it almost sounds like the song Amazing Grace. And they began to be merry. Now notice this, now his elder son was in the field and he came and drew nigh to the house and he heard music and dancing and he called one of the servants and asked him these things, what they meant. And verse 27 says, and he said unto him, thy brother is come and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, and because he received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. You know how the story goes. The brother's mad. But I want us to think about this tonight. I want to give you the title of the message tonight, and let's get preaching. Cashing in and coming back. Cashing in and coming back. You know, I believe this tonight. I believe there's too many Christians that are cashing in on God too early. I believe there's too many people who are quitting on God. And just like this prodigal son, he said, I want what comes to me. You know, this wouldn't have came to him until his father would have been at his deathbed or at death. And that's when he would have got this inheritance, but he wanted it early so he could go live his own life. And you know what? Sometimes I believe we, just when God's fixing to bless our life, when God's fixing to pour out the blessings of heaven on us, I believe sometimes we want to just cash in and say, Lord, I'll just take all that you have now and I'll just quit. I remember whenever I graduated high school back in 1995, hello, shut my school down. My school shut down the year I graduated. Hallelujah. I always said it would. And I never will forget, I walked into a place and they hired me to work for the power company. One of the greatest jobs you could ever get in our town is working with the power company. I worked with the power company. And it came with this thing I'd never heard of before, a 401k. I didn't know what it was, but I knew money went in there and money grew while it was in there. I said, I like it. And whatever I put in there, guess what? They matched it. I said, hallelujah. I was there a couple of years and the Lord called me to preach. I said, well, all right, I'm going to cash this baby in, just get it all right now. I think I had about $4,000 in there. Woo, glory, hallelujah. I can go to school, I can go and have a great time. So I cashed it in. I think I got like $300 because I cashed it in early. You know, and I think back now, if I would have waited, that was 15 years ago. If I would have waited. You know what? Sometimes we do that with God. Sometimes I think back whenever I wanted to quit. I think back sometimes whenever I wanted to just say, you know what? It's hard to serve the Lord. You know how we do. And I just want to quit on God. But you know what? I look back and I see all the blessings that happened whenever I was determined to stay with the Father and to stay there at the table with my Father and how God blessed it because I didn't cash in early. But notice some things that happened here. I believe the son didn't realize how good he had it in his own home. I looked up a verse today and it shocked me. I want to preach this. My brother is up at a boys' home, works at a boys' home, and I'm going to use this verse next time I go up there and preach to him. But I'll read this for you. Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21 says, if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastised him, will not hearken unto them. You put him in time out and you count to two. No, that's not what the scripture said. Then shall his father and mother, I like this, lay hold on him. Can I put it in today's turn? You grab him by the nape of his neck. And bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. Now notice this. This is what the Bible said. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this is our son, is stubborn and rebellious, and he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, that he die, so that they put evil away from among you, and all of Israel shall hear and fear. I don't know about you, but I thank God for grace. Because I know there's been times in Michael Wiggins' life whenever I've went away from God. And I'm glad whenever I come back, God didn't grab me by the nape of my neck and take me to the center of town and allow somebody to stone me to death. I want to tell every one of us and people that are in homes all across America who say, I don't want to be here. I want to tell you what, being there is better than being stoned to death. I'd rather take a bullet than a stone any day. Amen. I would rather crawl back on my knees and be stoned to death. But listen to me. We think we deserve so much in this life, don't we? Anybody have kids? You should say amen right here. Well, you're just not treating me right. Know what I ought to really do to you? I think I heard my mom say that about 100 times, amen. What I really ought to do, amen, is I ought to grab you up and I ought to turn you over and have a prayer service with you. Now, my mom didn't say that. Amen. If we're going to have a talk, all right. Amen. It's going to be wood to flesh. Amen. But listen to me tonight. He thought he deserved all of this, but really what he deserved was really to die. Aren't you glad we got a Father in heaven who said, you know what, he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance? Aren't you glad God just didn't see John Reed and say, you know what? Aren't you glad he saw John Reed and he said, I see hope, I see Christ, I see salvation, I see somebody I can use. Aren't you glad that you're here tonight, not by your goodness and not by your works and not by your baptism, not by your church membership, not by your checkbook, but you're here tonight by the very grace of God? Well, preacher, I deserve so much better. No, you don't. You deserve to be in hell and burning. Because you were born a sinner. And God in His great mercy loved us. Thank God for His grace. I studied a little bit about that ring the Father gave Him there in verses 20 through 24. And as I looked it up, it says this, that this ring was a symbol or a sign of sonship. S-O-N-ship. It was telling Him, Brother Treadwell, that you were still my son. Aren't you glad that when you go away from the Father and you stray in this world, that God brings you back home, or you come back home and He says, you're still my son? Aren't you glad you can't lose your salvation even though you wander sometimes, even though you go out and you look for great greener pastures? But thank God we can't lose our sonship. And He reminded him, you're still my son. I looked up at ring and I said, boy, it's like a marriage. This ring on my finger does not marry me. This ring on my finger just reminds me that I'm married. And it tells you that I'm married. And I got to thinking about that and I said, you know what? God gave us a ring. It's His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit reminds me that I'm His son, because my spirit bears witness with His spirit that I am the Son of God. Now, I looked up a verse, because I have a Bible. Ephesians 1:13 through 14 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of what promise? Which is the earnestness of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Simply, when God gave us the Holy Spirit, He gave us a ring. It said, hey, you're my son, you're my bride, and I'll be coming back for you. Well, listen to me tonight. He gave him a robe. Now, this robe represents, it was proof of acceptance back into the family. Woo, glory. I got to thinking about what Jesus did for me. He said that He gave me a robe of righteousness that was from Jesus Christ, and He robed me so I could be accepted in the beloved. I am now robed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and God looks at me. He does not see Michael's filth. He does not see my past. He does not see all the things that make me a sinner. He just sees me robed in the righteousness of Christ. Well, I had a verse for that. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him," that's Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." In him. I like being in him. Now the message, and I'm almost done. What about the prodigal's life now that he's back home? Let me give you three things tonight and I'm done. Well, he cashed in, but here's the good part. He came home. But what happened when he came home? We think, well, the story ends. The Bible doesn't say. Well, I can tell you some things tonight that had to happen. Now, let me give you three things. Number one, the prodigal son, he had a temptation to resist. By the way, we think sometimes, well, I wandered away from the Lord. I come home. Man, I'm good now. I'll tell you, I've seen it many times. People go away and they think they've gotten help and got rid of all their sin. And they come back and they think, boy, I got it whooped. Listen to me. I'm using a weird thing, but let's just say it's good. If you're addicted to chocolate, and you go to the Chocolates Anonymous, and you get rid of all your chocolate, don't go to the Hershey's factory. Don't walk into the Hershey's factory and say, "Well, Brother Trevor, I got this thing whooped." Because listen to me, even though the prodigal came home, even though he gave up his righteous living, even though he gave up that land that he joined himself to, listen to me tonight, every day of his life, he had to say no to temptation. You know why? Because temptation is a part of our everyday life. You know one of the worst things a sinner can ever say? Oh, I got it whooped. You ain't got nothing whooped until you get to heaven. Amen. Now listen to me here. You say, well, I wonder if he ever said. Now listen to me, because I got some verses. I sure would like to go back. Because I remember where I messed up. I'm going to go back. I don't know if he said that or not, but I do know some people that said that. In Exodus chapter 6, verses 2 through 3, I want to read this to you. If you ever notice in chapter 5, you know what happened? The children of Israel were led out of Egypt by Moses. They crossed over the Red Sea. Chapter 6 comes in. They're on the other side in the wilderness of sin, the Bible says. And here they come. They look behind them. All the Egyptians, they're gone. They say, "Woohoo! Yeah! High fives." But listen to this. I don't know, the time doesn't tell us a time frame, but I'm thinking just maybe a few days has passed. Because I know this, is that the Bible said they begin to hunger. Now, I know that 4 days is probably 3 days, maybe, but 4 days at the max is probably what we're looking at. I want to read these verses for you. It says, "In the whole congregation," I want you to notice that word, "whole congregation, of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them," now listen, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Well, don't you know that hurt the Lord? Don't you know that just broke the Lord's heart whenever He had just brought them over Egypt, brought them out of slavery, and they said, "We want to go back." Listen to me. Hey, if God saved you, don't ever look back to the world and say, "I want to go back." Any man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Listen, my friends, there's nothing behind you that's good. Except for lessons. Learned by. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He had some temptations, just like the children of Israel had. He had to endure these temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13, if you don't know this verse, this is a good verse. If you have problem areas in your life with sin, this is a good verse to memorize. It says there, "Have no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able." Now notice this, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, when temptation comes, God always puts an exit sign. And He says you can either take it or not. And you know what? So many times we don't take that exit. So many times we head right back to sin. Can I tell you that the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 did something amazing when the devil came and tempted him. Remember, he took him up to an exceeding high mountain. It was amazing how the devil said, you know what, I'll give you all this. And the Lord's thinking, I already own all of it. Amen. By the way, you know you own everything anyway. The world can promise you wealth and untold, but listen to me, God already has it all. But in Matthew chapter 4, we see something amazing that Jesus used. He uses the sharpest weapon he has in his arsenal. When the devil comes, he just pulled out the Word of God. He said, here it is. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God, against thee. Let me give you a second thing. Not only did he have a temptation to resist. Now notice number two, he had a testimony to share. He had a testimony to share. You know what? One of the greatest things you can do when you come out of that place of righteous living, that place of where the prodigal went to, the greatest thing you can do is come back and share your testimony with folks. Tell them what sin will do. You know what? People need a realistic look at what sin is, and sometimes they only get that through you telling what's happened in your life. But also, it makes you accountable to what is going on in your life. If you stand up for a church, say, I want to give a testimony. I want to say that I lived this life of riotous and I wandered from the Lord, but I want to say tonight I'm back home and I'm going to serve the Lord. Do you know what you just did? You just became accountable to the church. Accountability will keep you out of a lot of trouble. You ever think about the man on the other side of the lake, Gerasene, and he comes across, the Lord is out there with the disciples, he calms the storm for the disciples, they were scared, and he comes to the other side, and the demon-possessed man comes out of the tomb. Remember the crazy man, he was out there, and the Lord healed him. You know what happened whenever he healed him? He went back to his town and told him what happened. You know what happened when Jairus' daughter, 12-year-old daughter, was dying, and then she died, and Jesus came and raised her from the dead? You know what, I bet Jairus didn't say, well, the Lord, he's all right. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, but that's all I got to say. I bet Jerry said, now let me tell you, my daughter was dead, but Jesus came by. Remember the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years? Remember she said that she had tried all she had, she spent all she had, she went to every doctor, and she said, and the Bible said that she touched just the hem of his garment as he was going down the street, and the Bible said Jesus turned around, he said he felt his virtue had left him, and he said, who did touch me? And the disciples said, it was that woman. And Jesus said, you're healed. I bet that woman that with the issue of blood, I bet she didn't go, well, he was pretty good to me. I bet she was saying, you know what, when everything else failed, Jesus came through. Remember the 5,000 men? Now, we know there was women and children there, but the Bible just specifically said there were 5,000 men. Remember, they were all hungry. And Jesus took that little lad's lunch and he fed the 5,000 and the disciples that was there that day. Could you imagine that crowd going, well, he's all right? No. I bet they couldn't wait to get back to their town and say, listen, we were following Jesus around, and guess what happened? We got hungry, and Jesus took a little lunch from a lad and fed all of us. Who did that? Jesus did. What a testimony he had to share with others. When Jesus saved you, he gave you a testimony that only you can have. You know what? Some of the greatest powerful things you'll have in this life is your testimony. Don't lose it. They always said it takes sometimes a lifetime to gain a testimony, but it only takes 1 second to lose it all. Use what the Lord's done in your life and tell others. Number three, and I'm done tonight. Not only did he have to resist the temptation, not only did he have a testimony to share, but the last thing tonight, he had a task to perform. Just because the prodigal came home didn't mean he was just going to sit in the house and eat steak every day. Look out the window, watch the servants out there, and watch the other brother out there saying, man, sure I'm glad I came home. Sitting in there playing Nintendo, they don't play that no more. The PlayStation 3, amen. He's sitting in there while everybody's out there, he's watching TV going, drinking a glass of iced tea, sweet tea, by the way, he was saying, and drinking that sweet tea on the porch, just saying, boy, it sure is good to be back home. Listen to me. When you come back to God, don't just expect everything to just be, woo, I'm glad I came back home, everything's fine now. No, you still got a task to perform. I bet the next morning, I bet that son was willing because now he was going to serve because he loved his father. When you love God, you'll want to serve Him. You won't mind getting out into the fields, and you won't mind getting out into the highways and hedges. You won't mind getting out there because you've seen what He's done in your life. You know, the debt of gratitude that we owe God. Folks, tonight, I don't know if you're, some of y'all don't look like you're getting it tonight because you got sad faces. You was headed to a devil's hell. You were headed to hell. You were headed to a place where you were going to burn, not for one day, not for 2 days, but for eternity. And God in His great mercy came and He saved you and He changed your life and He gave you a home in heaven. And we're going to sit around and go, well, I don't know. I don't know. I remember one time I was in the fire department. This young girl had a wreck right down from her house. Got the call, went down. It was just probably a couple blocks from her house. This young girl had cut her car in two, split it up and on a guardrail. It was early in the morning, so it was still dark. And I remember she was laying, when I got there, I pulled off, turned my flashes on. She's in the middle of a four-lane highway, like, let's just say like 287 here. And I remember seeing her in the view of my lights on my truck. She was laying in the middle of the road. And I went and I didn't want to move her because I could see that her hip was dislocated. So I got behind her and I just held her. And another guy came up and I handed him my flashlight. I said, just keep traffic off of me. It's all I ask. And I held that young girl for about 10, 15 minutes until the ambulance got there. And I talked to her and I just kept her awake and I did all the things that I thought I should do, trained to do. And you know what was amazing about that young girl is the letters and cards our fire department got because she was grateful for what we done for her. You know, I've been on many accident scenes. Sometimes you get thank you notes, sometimes you get thank you, sometimes you don't. But you know what? Sometimes we owe a debt of gratitude not only to our God but to others. Think about the person who shared the gospel with you. Think about your pastor that we have here at this church who stands up and proclaims the Word of God. Man, we ought to be so grateful to our pastor. We ought to be careful of complaining and murmuring and causing strife in church. We ought to be grateful that we're here. Is our church perfect? No, because the Wiggins family came into town. But I want to tell you one thing. This is better than any hell that we'll never be able to see. He cashed in, but he came back. I remember when I came back. I remember whenever the Lord said, nope, can't have you back. Nope. No, my Lord didn't say that. The Lord said, welcome. He stands tonight ready to welcome somebody. You know what? I think our carnal minds do this sometimes. We think we got to be out there and drug addict and got to be alcoholics and brother Clark is just way out there. But I want to tell you what, if our mindset is wrong, if our heart's not right, we're away from God. You say, well, I'm not a drunkard. Listen to me. Don't start comparing yourself to other people. You compare yourself to a holy and perfect God and realize that He is pure, that He is holy, that He is righteous, and that you're far from Him. You say, well, I don't know what to do. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Just go back to Him. Just go back to the Lord and embrace Him and hold Him. He said He'll cling unto you. You just cling unto Him. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just for a moment, I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing hymn 162. Father, we thank You. We love You. Lord, You've been so good to us tonight. Pray You bless the invitation. I pray that You have Your will and way. Lord, that You would get all glory. And Father, I know that there may be a prodigal here tonight. They just need to come find a place at this altar. And God is so good that we can come back. And Lord, You'll accept us. Father, we love You tonight. We ask Your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. As Brother Tim sings hymn 162. Tonight, if you need to come, the altar's open for you tonight.